760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, and happy Tuesday. What a beautiful weekend we had, having that wonderful Labor Day weekend, the long weekend. It was great having that. I am Allison DeLoel, and I am with Dave Savage.
Good morning.
And we have a special guest here with us who is not a newbie here. He's been around many times. Greg McDonald's my co-host today. So welcome, Greg.
Thank you very much, Allison. And Dave, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. So why is he here?
Well, Josh is in Rome, and not Rome, Georgia.
Right.
Rome, Italy. So he's going to be there through next Monday. So we are going to have different guest co-hosts with me. So
he's there for the canonization.
He is. He is for Giorgio Versace. And Carlo Acutis. So yeah, he is there, and we will be contacting him this week, and he'll be on the show as well. But I'm thrilled to have you here, Greg. So would you like to lead us in prayer?
I would, very much. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for us all being together with you this morning, and thank you for everybody that's listening. Please continue to protect all of us and guide us throughout our days. We ask this in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Father, Amen. Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Beautiful.
That was beautiful. So, how was your long weekend?
Oh, my goodness. It was great. Spare ribs. We had ribs.
Ooh.
Yeah, it is an annual thing. If
on
it's,
the grill?
Like, I can tell you, yes, absolutely. In fact, I can tell you what we've had for the last 20 years because my wife always wants spare ribs on Labor Day.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like the how the night sky is cyclical, they say. You can know what the stars are going to do from time to time. I know what we're going to do every Labor Day. So if you asked me 20 years ago, what did you have 20 years ago?
Ribs.
I would say ribs.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
What are you doing next year on Labor Day?
There may be ribs on the menu. I'm going to take a stab. Just spitballing here.
That is hilarious. So, Dave, what about you, Dave? What are you up to?
Oh, we've got company coming. My sister-in-law is coming on Thursday for a little visit. My wife's birthday is on Friday. We're getting the house. We got some clutter. We're not ready for to be on the show hoarders, but we've got a little too much around the house, and so I'm kind of sore from moving boxes and.
Dave, you're getting a workout. Look at that.
You should give it to your guests. So whatever you think you want to get rid of, just say, hey, it's kind of like a family garage sale, but it's free.
Here, take this suitcase with you,
please. Or my dog. I have a second dog that I've been trying to give to people, but nobody will take her. So
yeah. Look at the generosity and hospitality whenever we come. We need to come here more often. Oh, my gosh. Oh, that is hilarious.
How about you, Allison?
Oh, wow. Busy, busy weekend. So my son had soccer. There was a tournament coming. But this was also the weekend for the moms and kids camping. And since my son had soccer, we didn't actually camp out there. But I did let my son go for a day or two. So
to the campground, you
mean? To the campgrounds. Mm-hmm. And the campgrounds were in, I think it's called Morganton, which is past LJ. So it's, right there in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains. Mm-hmm. So I had to pick him up on Saturday morning. I left my house about 7:15 to pick him up. And that was an hour and 20 minute drive. And then from the campsite drove to Cumming, which was another hour and 20 minutes away.
Wow.
But again, he was having fun with friends. We're normally there playing with the people in the campgrounds, and technology's not around. So, fishing, there was a cute little stream out there. So again, I didn't want to take him away from that one.
Mm-hmm.
After his games on Saturday, he stood home. We had some nice bonding time because Mary was with a friend and Sarah was at camp still. So just good quality bonding with him. And then Sunday he had another game. And after the game, guess what? Mom, can I go back to the campground? Sure.
Did you take him?
I did. So we had some lunch and then we made our trip down to, the campground again. And it is absolutely beautiful in the mountains.
Do you have an app for your ride service? Because I'd like to maybe get, from time to time I need a ride. I have a daughter who's driving now. My truck might be gone. If I could just get, Uber you or, that would be great.
Just text me. Say, Allison, can you drive me, please? No, but truly, at first I was like, oh, but then I'm like, no. I mean, he really enjoys it and it's fun. The friends were playing sports. So yeah, it was nice. But then I did have some time by myself too, which was priceless.
Oh yeah.
I hung out with my mom and dad. Love them so much.
Oh wow.
Cool. So Greg, you're going to be with us up until 9 o'clock. And so we've got some chores for you.
Yes.
Okay. You've got your assignments.
Gosh, I feel like my wife is here.
You've got your marching orders. but I also want to mention too, you are going to hear Josh from time to time because we have some of these things are pre-recorded.
Yes.
So you will hear Josh every now and then.
Yes.
Even though he's in Rome right
from
now.
From beyond.
Yes, exactly.
Just ahead on The Morning Quest.
Later in the show, we have Katie Edelstein. She is a certified nurse midwife and family nurse practitioner at RHM Gynecology. And she is going to be talking in our second conversation in our Women Health series about perimenopause and menopause. Also, Chuck Persner is going to be back. He's going to be talking about St. Ingrid of Sweden. Father Scott Riley, pastor at St. Brendan Navigator, is going to be diving into today's gospel. And coming up next, Father Siloway, pastor of All Saints and Dunwoody. He's on retreat this week, but he is going to revisit one of his talks on theology of the body.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Father Siloway from All Saints Catholic Church in Dunwoody.
Great
welcome
to be here.
Back.
Thank you.
Well, Father, we have been talking about theology of the body, and it has been absolutely amazing and so insightful. So let's dive into what John Paul II has said about the first few chapters in Genesis in regards to creation history. Can we go into more detail about that?
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, there should be books. I'm certain there are books that you could go on for weeks and weeks and weeks just on the beginning of the theology of the body because it's so critically important. But John Paul II used it as his point of departure to dive into the great truths of who we are, what our purpose is, like what it means to be human and everything. And it's so incredibly beautifully dense. So I want to slowly unpack some pieces because we were diving into it a little bit last time.
Yes.
And just continue to go through it. Just to reset the stage, there are two separate creation narratives. Genesis 1 is its own, and then Genesis 2 begins to tell another one. And so it's like, what do you do with that? And John Paul II says, well, not only do they come from two different source material, but they're given to us to show different realities. They're given to us to show different truths and aspects of our creation. So the first one, where we'll spend most of our time today, the first one has really set out, let's say, a spiritual process by which creation came to be. Mm-hmm. It was an act of God. How does Genesis begin? In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless wasteland and darkness covered the abyss. Mighty wind swept over the waters. Then God said, let there be light. The author is setting the stage, which, by the way, the author was not there. One thing we got to remember about Genesis is this, Moses wasn't sitting there writing down, okay, now God is about to do something. Moses doesn't exist yet. So this comes from a tradition that has been received and celebrated possibly over decades and centuries before it was ever written down, traditionally held by Moses. But setting the stage that this is God's desire. From this nothingness, God creates everything, and there's a process to it. And what a beautiful thing. John Paul II doesn't really go into this much, but it's something that's kind of struck me, that you see this progression that takes place that very much lines up with what we've discovered about how the universe and the world and all creatures come together. That, you know, if these were just totally ignorant people just coming up with a mythology of their own to describe how the earth and the world and people came to exist, they'd just be like, well, we popped out of the gods in some way. You know, there was a god of the stars and we popped out of them and something like this. But no, there's this progression of first there was light. There's this explosion of energy and power. And from that comes everything else. I find it fascinating that our best scientists right now are describing it's like the beginning of our universe was this thing we call the Big Bang. So everything begins from this utter nothingness into everything.
Wow.
Just an explosion of energy and light. And then God gets to the building of other things. So you've got this beautiful supernatural progression of the way that things come to be. Because after the light, then what? You've got the dome above and the dome below. Then you've got water filling the basin. Then you've got lights in the dome above, so like stars and moon and all this. And then you've got creepy crawly things in the water, then creepy crawly things in the land, and then things flying and vegetation. And then that sixth day, again, just the incredible importance of that sixth day of creation, where God steps back and ponders within the depths of the Trinity. Of like, we're about to do something magnificent here, like saving the best for last. Wow. As incredible as giraffes are and rhinoceroses and octopus and all of these things, it's like God's like, oh, wait, you haven't seen anything yet. Wow. He's saving the best for last. And he creates humanity in his image and likeness. Again, that Imago Dei. So one of the things we see in the unfolding, just to continue from where we were last time, is not just the importance of being created in the image and likeness of God, but then also that the sexual difference between male and female is something directly willed by God. John Paul II says that, like, let's not look at the fact that essentially half of the human population is male and half of the population is female as just some kind of byproduct of our biology. That, about half the horses are male and half the horses are female. It just kind of works out. In the rest of the animal kingdom, it's what is necessary for the propagation of the species. But in humanity, it's something that God directly willed. It's not just a byproduct of our biology. But it's God says, I want you to exist in the sexual difference because there's going to be this complementarity between the personhood of the man and the personhood of the woman. What the man is strong at, the woman will be, generically speaking, weaker at. What the woman is stronger at, generically speaking, the male will be weaker at. And it's not just in terms of like physiology and what they can do physically with their bodies. That's not what he's talking about. But on the level of the whole person, that they will complement one another, that they will be strengths unto one another, that the full picture of humanity is male and female together, that they're existing together forms this, the full image of God in them. So just how incredibly important it is that we exist in a sexual difference between male and female.
Again, we are talking with Father Michael Siloway of All Saints Catholic Church in Dunwoody. And Father, just to backpedal on what you shared, what you're getting at is that there is an intentional anatomical design between male and female that really bears the fingerprints of God and is illuminated through our complementary nature.
Absolutely. Yeah, spot on. And it is so beautiful, too, that the first commandment that God gives to we don't have their names yet. We get their names from the second story. Here we just know that God created male and female in his image and likeness. But to the prototype of humanity, these first of his children created in his image and likeness, his first commandment, do you know what it is?
Be fruitful and multiply.
Be fruitful and multiply.
So
God is like, anatomically, you are different. And we're going to get into that in the second creation story next time. But there's this recognition that you belong together. Wow. You belong together. And from your giving of yourself, you are going to not only this idea of continue the species, which is a true natural consequence, but it's this is how humanity will flourish. This is how you will fulfill on this side of eternity your participation in, as God would say, my image and likeness. Just through the sacrificing of yourself for the other, the giving of yourself for the other, that you bring new life into the world. The whole thing about male and female being created for one another, united together in the intimacy of their self-gift, that is what creates the fullest picture we can have on this side of eternity of the image and likeness of God. Wow. And so it's coming from this, and we'll get to this down the road, but as consequences, like, so where do so many of these, like, teachings of the Catholic Church about what we typically call just, like, sexual ethics, where they come from? This is the absolutely critical linchpin piece. It's that God desired the sexual difference between man and woman. Each one of them, and this is something John Paul II dives in deeply, male is created in the image and likeness of God. Female is created in the image and likeness of God. They are both infinitely dignified. There's no sense of superiority one over the other in either way. But each one of them fully represents the dignity that belongs to those who are created in the image and likeness of God. And there's so much more we can talk about next time, too.
Wow.
Wow. You always have us drinking from a fire hose, Father. Thank you so much.
And it's absolutely amazing. And, you know, when you're talking about creation, how God created all these things, and then we people can actually procreate and also bring creation to the earth to subdue it.
Right. Yeah. And, I mean, that's a whole nother thing we get into, the stewardship that we're called to.
Yeah.
And what all that means. There's so many beautiful things there, too, but we got to limit ourselves in
some
way.
We sure do.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Father Siloway, for another enlightening segment on Theology of the Body. And we are not finished yet. We are just scratching the surface.
Just getting started.
Yep. We cannot wait to unpack more with you next segment.
Still to come on The Morning Quest.
Later in the show, Katie Edelstein is going to be talking to us about menopause and perimenopause. That's for all the ladies out there. Also coming up, St. Ingrid of Sweden is going to be unpacked by Chuck Persner. Father Scott Riley, pastor of St. Brendan the Navigator, is going to be diving into the gospel.
Hi, this is Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Coming up at 4 this afternoon on AM 1160 The Quest, I invite you to join me for Beacon of Truth. Now let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:18.
Father Scott Riley, pastor of St. Brendan the Navigator in Cumming, is back, and he's going to be diving into today's gospel. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, Allison. And of course, good morning, Josh.
Good morning. I'm just basking in that new pastor smell you got on you.
I am using some deodorant. Maybe that's the... maybe it's that brand.
Yeah,
pastor
yeah.
brand.
I mean, it was just a very special installation.
Oh,
we must yeah, give you a big shout out for that, Father.
Thank you. It was phenomenal. Couldn't believe it. Bishop Joel, fantastic job. He's got such a great sense of humor.
I thought that was hilarious how he opened it.
Yeah, he's really elegant. He's just really calm. Appreciate everybody there, so... It was great. So, but anyway, here's our text. So, Luke 4, 31 to 37. Jesus went down to Capernaum, a town of Galilee. He taught them on a Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching because he spoke with authority. In the synagogue, there was a man with the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be quiet, come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down in front of them and came out of him without doing him any harm. They were all amazed and said to one another, "What is there about his word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And news of him spread everywhere in the surrounding region. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
One thing I wanted to just hit me as I was reading this, and it ties into the installation mass, is the reality of authority.
Mm.
So the installation mass, and Bishop made mention to this about, you know, as a priest, I'd never taken an oath. As a religious, I take vows, poverty, yeah. chastity, and obedience, to live in accordance with the Institute and Legionaries of Christ, etc. And at the ordination, the priest promises in the rite chastity, and then the promises obedience to the bishop. In his creed, but it's not an oath. But in the rite that for pastor, you take an oath, an oath to teach according to the church, according to the papal magisterium, to speak the truth, to live the truth.
Yeah,
as well. Obviously, you can't just speak it and not live it. It's,
yeah.
That's such hypocrisy. And we're all sinners, but we striving to live the truth. But authority. So authority is handed down. In the rite, he talked about how the church is very prudent to whom she gives this authority. Not that, you know, hey, you know, I got this. No, it's anyone who has position within the church has, you know, authority. Even a catechetical teacher has authority as a teacher. So authority is though it's not an authority to domineer. It's an authority to serve. How do we serve? We serve what? Well, what do we? Who do we serve? We serve God. We serve these souls. The reality, that, you know, as a pastor, for example, is, you know, it's just unbelievable the reception again there at the Mass. But it's like there's no CEO. A CEO has authority and whatnot. It comes from the board and all that. But you're dealing with product. You're dealing with Coke. You're dealing with the marketing. You're dealing with this. Or
yeah.
as with a priest, you're dealing with the interior world of a person.
Mm-hmm.
Their heart.
Yeah.
People come in all the time. There's a young lady, she's coming on Mass, never seen her before. She'd come to a Sunday Mass, and usually after Mass, there's just this wave of people coming out of the church, and you're greeting everybody. I feel like, you know, hey, you know. And but she just stopped and said, "I've never been here before, but I am searching.
Mm-hmm.
I am such a mess.
Wow.
I just don't know where to go." You know, so I directed her in the sense of like, "Oh, I'd love to meet with you. You're just making an appointment. Let's talk and more in depth." Because when you got 1,000 people coming out, you just can't like have an in-depth conversation yeah, with someone sure. right on the spot. But anyway, Christ was calling her. Christ was working in her. The word was already starting to sprout and she didn't know what to do with that. So that's what we're serving. That's the authority with which we're, and we serve that word, that soul, that heart. And as well, Jesus here spoke with authority. So there's teaching. There's a, you can sense it. This isn't made up.
Yeah.
And it's rooted in truth. The church, you can't just make things up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you're prudent, but you don't leave people in the lurch of ignorance because that's a false empathy.
Yeah.
You don't take the truth and hit them over the head with it.
Yeah.
But you serve them with truth and love, and love and truth. But authority is, I need to serve you with the truth.
I know that's interesting. I've heard that phrase, truth in charity, right? And I think truth without charity is pretty cold, right?
It's not truth.
It's violence, in a way. Right?
It's not truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For example, let's just take this. You know, no one is perfect. Let's just take a, made up family here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a young boy. He's just rambunctious, whatever. Dad might be type A or whatever. You know, don't take those cookies out of the cookie jar. I'm going to tell you this once. I'm not telling it again. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and the kid does. He's got chocolate chip stains all over his fingers. his dad's new leather, white leather golf bag. Mm-hmm. And he just was smeared chocolate all over it. And the dad is just incensed and yelled at him. I mean, strongly, let's just say strongly, mm-hmm. completely out of place, and frightens the kid, and he, you know, correcting them and all that. But the problem is that he did not do that in love. Mm-hmm. So what's seared in the memory of that kid is a nightmare. Mm-hmm. There wasn't truth. There wasn't a learning lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jesus in this, he's in this text here even. So the authority, he rebukes that, yeah, I know who you are.
Yeah.
Be quiet. I know you know. Be quiet. And he was quiet. And then through the manic of perfect health. And that was like, wow, who is this man? He teaches with authority.
And that authority always serves, like you shared, Father, a greater purpose, mm-hmm. right? So truth without charity, in many ways, it's traumatizing, right? But when truth leads to a higher call, then all of a sudden it's transformative. I think about this quote by St. Bede the Venerable that I have here. The devil is cast out by the word of God, that the greatness of the Savior's authority might be shown, and that by the healing of one man, the salvation of all might be declared. So here, Jesus's truth has a salvific teleology, a salvific end, right? It is oriented towards salvation of mm-hmm. us and ultimately of redeeming grace.
Right. Exactly. And then so you might feel that, well, this person's not ready for it, and they might not be ready for it, but you lead them to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't keep them in darkness. And then people instinctively want the truth. Mm-hmm. So, for example, at Mass homily, am I saying anything now? No. That quote you just mentioned, that's hundreds of years old.
Yeah.
It still resonates.
Yeah.
Why does it resonate? We're made for truth. Why does air resonate with our lungs? Our lungs are made for air, oxygen. So when a priest is preaching, bishop, whoever, he just needs to focus on the word in truth.
Yeah.
It's not about the jokes. It's not about all that stuff. That's a lot of, you know, that frosting that just doesn't really taste good after a while. It's just like, ugh, I'd like to get some really good stuff. You know?
Yeah.
But anyway, those can help, but the word.
So, Father, a good takeaway would be?
Well, I think one would be that we ourselves get to know the truth, love the truth, pray for those in authority. Mm-hmm. It's not an easy job. And then, I don't know, there's always something that can be improved. You know, I would suggest as well for parishioners. I've not had this before yet, and I don't think I will, but who knows, you know. Don't do hit and runs with your pastor, with people that are where you can just drop something on them and just, it's a, I don't know, a visceral complaint, a gripe, without offering any solution, without offering any, well, you know, but what do you think? You know, it's just hit and run. And just because to serve a whole church is not easy. Mm-hmm. And, but they want to learn, but as well, it's just a little bit. Yeah. But I've heard stories from other priests.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Father Scott Riley, pastor, St. Brendan the Navigator, for reminding us that truth isn't just knowledge. It's a person, Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
Well, we are so excited again to have Greg McDonald here because Josh is in Rome, Italy. So he is going to be chiming in with some more weather, and he's doing a marvelous job.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Love it. Well, from Catholic Vote, when loved ones walk away from the church, you know, it can bring such deep sorrow. The Fellowship of Catholic University Students, known as FOCUS, has released guidance to help Catholics face that challenge with faith and love. Their first advice begins with prayer. So no debate over or clever words can change hearts the way God's grace can. So,
well, that's true with everything.
Absolutely.
Begin with prayer.
Who wants to be hit over the head with something, right?
Yeah.
We need to pray and call on the Holy Spirit. And what I love is FOCUS encourages intercession through the rosary, adoration, and quiet sacrifices. And I love hearing quiet sacrifices, right? Because maybe if you want to say something, you know what, Holy Spirit, let me just hold back on this. You know, you intercede. Let me just be praying and asking for guidance in the words to say if I'm called to say something. They also stress staying close to loved ones. Keep calling, keep inviting, keep showing friendship. And I like that too, because how easy it is if you're not feeling comfortable about something, maybe to kind of put a barrier there, right? Or just have in your head, oh, there's something wrong, you know?
Absolutely.
Listening with compassion rather than arguing is key. And above all, FOCUS reminds that patient, joyful witnesses speak louder than lectures. And that's so true.
Well, you can't push somebody into it.
No.
You got to draw them in.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
And truly, we want them to see us and go, oh, there's something there. They have something that I desire to have. So like St. Monica, who prayed for years for her son, Augustine, we're called to love as Jesus does and trust that God is never done writing their story.
Well, we just had... talking about St. Monica last week.
Yeah. And St. Augustine,
And now here she is again, and so there must be something there.
Yeah, St. Monica, pray for us.
She keeps showing up.
Later on The Morning Quest.
Coming up, Katie Edelstein. She is a certified nurse midwife and family nurse practitioner at RHM Gynecology, is going to be talking to myself and the ladies about menopause and perimenopause. And this is something good for the men out there to hear, right? Your wife or maybe your future wife might be going through this. So good information to know. And also, Dave is going to be giving us some Monday memes.
Monday memes, that's right.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey.
With Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
It's 8:33.
Who's on the agenda, Chuck?
Oh, good morning, Josh. Well, on the second day of September, during what they're calling the false fall, speaking specifically about this great weather, I'm really enjoying these cooler temperatures, and I hope they stick around for a while. Today we celebrate the feast day of St. Ingrid of Sweden.
Wow.
And, you know, just a quick note as it relates to September, it's going to be another very interesting month for saints. We celebrate some very popular and beloved saints that some of them are very well known. We've got Padre Pio on the 24th. Some maybe not so known. St. Peter Claver's on the bill. We'll have Gregory the Great tomorrow. Looking forward to that one.
Wow.
But the liturgical calendar itself is not nearly as packed as it was in August. You know, August was an incredible month for saints. I think when we started from about August 10th on, there was a saint celebrated liturgically every day. September, not so much. Mm-hmm. So we'll have a chance to fill in the gaps, ad lib a little bit, have a little fun with the calendar. And
yeah,
it's always kind of fun to do that. But back to our saint of the day. That's a woman who was born Ingrid Elvolfsdotter in Skananji, Sweden, in the 13th century. My Swedish is not great, I can tell, but I did my best there. Following the death of her husband, she resolved to consecrate the rest of her life to God.
Yeah.
This is a common theme amongst some of these female saints that we've discussed. They lose their husband maybe at a very early age, and they decide to shift gears and take on that second stage of their life, and they decide to enter into religious life.
Wow.
She placed herself under the spiritual direction of Peter of Dacia, who was a Dominican priest. And it's interesting to note that in one of his letters, Peter had left a description of the ascetic lifestyle and mystic revelations of one of his, quote, spiritual daughters in this circle of women. And historians believe he was most likely referring to Ingrid. She was quite the mystic. She would go on to become the first Dominican nun in Sweden.
Wow.
And in 1281, after making a pilgrimage to Rome, she founded the first Dominican cloister called St. Martin's. And this was in Skåning, Sweden, which was formally recognized very shortly thereafter, in the same year, in fact, in 1281, which would actually be just 1 year prior to her death. Ingrid had made pilgrimages to Santiago, Jerusalem, and Rome along the way. So in forming this order, she would go forth and be the evangelical globetrotter again that's so common amongst our saints. She would die in the year 1282, surrounded by what hagiographers have described as, and I quote, an aura of sanctity. After her death, Ingrid became the object of veneration and pilgrimages to her convent. She was not, however, formally recognized by the Pope in the same regard as her countless devotees, those who, after her death, sought her intercession and prayer and the like. But when her relative, the far better known Bridget of Sweden, who, of course, is a saint in her own right, was formally recognized by the Pope in the year 1391, so we're talking about 110 years later or so, Ingrid was granted a similar status as well. At the Council of Constance, an application was made for her canonization. In the year 1499, Pope Alexander VI agreed to a translation relic, which took place in her convent in the year 1507. The remains of Ingrid were removed to the Vadstena Abbey after the Swedish Reformation. And then fast forward all the way to the year 1959, these relics were transferred to the Brigantes Abbey of Mary's Refuge in Uden in the Netherlands,
wow,
which is where they are exhibited this very day. So here we have, again, another woman who would be inspired to go on and form a religious order of sorts, the first Benedictine cloister.
Yeah.
And another great saint. Wow. It's a good day for our Swedish brothers and sisters who are celebrating today. Maybe have some Swedish fish to celebrate. Do you eat Swedish fish, Josh?
Is that like a candy of some sort?
Oh, it is. Oh, is it a candy?
Yeah.
See, this is what happens when you talk to healthy people.
You know? What is it's like licorice or it's like a...
It's a gummy candy.
Gummy candy,
and
yeah,
if you can find the ones in multiple colors, because most of the times you buy the bag, it's all cherry. But if you can find a bag with the green, the yellow, and the orange, love the orange Swedish fish. Just very, very good. They taste like orange.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the thing. I just don't think it really has the payoff of if I'm going to treat myself, it's like, let's pull the pin and make some bad decisions. You know, a chocolate, I don't know, an ice cream sundae, banana pudding. You know, for me, if it's just gummy, it's kind of like all the sugar, none of the joy.
Well, for the most part, I'm off candy. I am going to have candy, it'd probably be Swedish fish.
Yeah.
But you're an ice cream sundae or banana bread pudding. Yeah, I'm going that route first.
Yeah. It's delicious. By the way, at the time everybody's hearing this, I will be in the Eternal City.
All right.
I'm in, you know, yeah. So I will be in Rome, Italy. Actually, three of us from the Quest have Vatican press passes for
That's
the canonization
awesome.
Of Pier Giorgio Frassati and Carlo Acutis. I say that because St. Ingrid was influenced quite a bit in her traveling as well. So I think before founding her convent, she traveled to Santiago de Compostela in Spain,
That's right.
you know, honoring St. James, the Holy Land, where she meditated deeply on Christ's passion, and possibly, it says, Rome as well. You never know what an experience or a pilgrimage is going to do for your faith journey.
Yeah, and that's a takeaway for our listeners, because we know that our churches are constantly running these pilgrimages.
Yeah.
And you talk to someone who comes back from them, and they're just a buzz. You know, they're talking about it for weeks and months at a time. I know my sister did a pilgrimage to Rome. Our parish, St. Michael the Archangel over there in Woodstock, they're constantly running trips. Some of the surrounding parishes, St. Peter Chanel right down the road. St. Benedict's, you know, these are great opportunities to grow in your faith, partake of the local customs, have some nice food while you're there, especially if you're in Italy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just, you never know how many vocational calls have come from pilgrimages.
Yeah, really.
So I'm really excited for this pilgrimage I'm about to be heading on. And her legacy is just incredible. I mean, think about the seed she planted for Dominican spirituality in Scandinavia.
Oh, yeah.
Huge. In her convent, by the way, became a hub for education, reform, and female religious life. And what incredible devotion. By the way, it was the first Dominican women's house in the country, as I believe you illuminated.
Absolutely.
So it's so cool, too, to see that her brother Anders gave his protection and resources so that this convent could thrive.
Yeah. What a holy family. Related to St. Bridget of Sweden. I think there was holy water running through the pipes of Skeninge.
Yeah,
I think they call it Skeninge, Sweden. That's probably a good pilgrimage site as well. Sweden's a beautiful country. I've never been myself, but in the course of time, you meet some Swedish people, just really good people, salt of the earth people. Mm-hmm. Looks to be a beautiful place. Oh, no, I take that back. I did visit Sweden as a young boy in the Merchant Marines, but it was a short trip.
You're in the Marines,
huh? Merchant Marines, quite different. Yeah, not exactly as tough as those boys in the Marines.
Is that like me bragging I was in the Army and then I reveal it's Salvation Army?
That's probably a pretty good analogy, okay, to be honest with you. Yeah, Merchant Marines are the guys who man the merchant ships and girls, but did a short trip to Sweden. We wound up going to Gothenburg, not Stockholm, which is kind of like the Jersey City of Sweden. But nonetheless, I was in the country, and it was kind of neat. Yeah.
Wow. And to think that these women were, I mean, they were really no strangers to penance as well. You know, they fasted, wore simple garments, abstained from meat, and embraced silence, I believe, as well. You know, I think they did a lot of manual labor also around this comet. They would have had to.
They did.
Right?
They
did. So their prayer life was certainly rivaled by, I would say, their relatability and humility to also execute the day's tasks.
Yeah. You know, I feel like a lot of these things are starting to come back. I feel like the fasting, and, you know, it's easier to talk to people in the workplace about prayer nowadays. I feel like more people are praying, more people are fasting. So it's good to see these things coming back. Our world needs this stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, on this wonderful day, perhaps we can follow her example and just do one small thing that brings us a little bit closer to Christ. I might recommend prayer, you know? Spend some time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And while you're there, I think there's a question you could ask.
St. Ingrid of Sweden,
pray for us.
The Morning Quest keeps on rolling on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
At 8:42.
It's that time.
Well, today is Tuesday.
But
it feels like a Monday.
It does. It really does feel like a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Or I prayed the wrong mysteries.
Did you really?
I did. I prayed Monday mysteries. Oh, man.
It still counts.
It still counts.
The grace flows. It's still there.
But along with the Monday mysteries, we're also going to do Monday memes.
I love it.
Okay.
I love it.
Let's do some of those. Some of them are inspiring. Some are just silly. And Allison made sure that we had at least one inspiring one. She sent it to me.
I feel like a nerd. I'm like, inspire me, Dave, every Monday. Or Tuesday it is today.
So here's one. The fact that my entire body cracks like a glow stick whenever I move, yet refuses to actually glow, is very disappointing.
Yes, agreed.
You get to a certain age and...
I'm not there yet.
Reaching for that ibuprofen.
Oh,
yeah.
Got your upstairs ibuprofen and your downstairs ibuprofen.
Yeah. Between that and acetaminophen every 4 hours.
Yeah. I don't know how to describe it, but 72 degrees with the heat on and 72 degrees with the AC on are two totally different temperatures.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Ever notice that?
Yes.
That is 100% true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, my wife never complained until I got hearing aids.
You know, my dad did not have hearing aids, and I thought he couldn't hear. And there's some truth to that. But then I realized when we were talking something really low, he was interested in, and he was right on it. And I said, he's just a master. He was selectively tuning out what
selective
he wanted.
Selective hearing. He oh, my great, goodness.
He was a master.
He's a genius.
He is.
Chuck sent me this one. I think it was Chuck. Maybe it was Alessandra. Somebody sent me this one. I switched all the labels on my wife's spice rack. I'm not in trouble yet, but the time is cumin.
Oh, Dave, that was funny.
Wah.
I know.
That's a dad meme if there ever
that
was one.
It is, and I got it. Hallelujah.
And, you know, if a kid is old enough to hold a tablet, phone, or game, they can work a broom, mop, and dishes.
Amen to that.
Mm-hmm. True.
And Chuck did send me this one.
Okay.
Jesus drove a Honda, but didn't talk about it. Because in John 12:49, it says, for I did not speak of my own accord.
Who knew?
Exactly.
Thanks, Chuck.
And then here's one to think about. Dance like no one is watching, but text and email like it will be read in court one day.
Oh, that's really good. No, seriously. Wow. I think people just, even on social media.
Because those are there forever.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. Absolutely.
And for you, Allison.
I know. I'm like, he better have some inspiration for me.
Fulton Sheen quote.
Okay.
The reason we have so much discontent in the world is because we pray for what we want instead of what we need.
Oh, I love that. And it's so true, is it not?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Coming up on The Morning Quest.
Coming up, we've got Katie Edelstein, certified nurse midwife and family nurse practitioner with RHM Gynecology, and she is going to be talking to us about perimenopause and menopause, and our scripture verse of the week, Sirach 21, verse 2, flee from sin as from a snake, for if you approach sin, it will bite you.
Pretend that sin is a copperhead or a rattlesnake.
I know.
Ooh. I'm Dr. Marcus Peter. Coming up at 5 this afternoon on AM 1160, The Quest, join me for Ave Maria in the afternoon. But now, it's back to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:48.
I am so excited to have our second conversation for our Women's Health series today. I have Katie Edelstein, certified nurse, midwife, and family nurse practitioner with RHM Gynecology here. And she is going to be talking to us about perimenopause and menopause. So welcome to The Quest.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I am so happy you're here because I know there are many women out there that are going through this, or possibly it's going to be happening sooner than later. So it's always great to unpack this information. So what is the difference between perimenopause and menopause?
So menopause is a retrospective kind of diagnosis. It just means that you have now gone an entire year without a menstrual cycle.
Uh-huh.
And perimenopause is the time leading up to that. Could it be 5 to 7 years before even menopause happens? And a time with either regular cycles or irregular cycles, and having kind of some of the menopause symptoms mm-hmm. at that time.
And what are some of those symptoms that women could be looking out for?
So some of the symptoms are hot flashes, night sweats, new onset of anxiety, brain fog, weight gain. So a huge variety of symptoms.
Yeah. And you said, so do some of those symptoms happen in perimenopause, or is that the transition to menopause?
So some of them do happen in perimenopause when you're still having cycles, and some of them happen in that year, uh-huh. and some continue to happen even after a few years after menopause, or that you've been in menopause.
Wow. So when it comes to menopause, do women have to wait until menopause to get treatment?
No. So really, it's a very individual thing. Everybody experiences perimenopause and menopause differently. Mm-hmm. And so in perimenopause, if someone is having lots of hot flashes or night sweats and insomnia, like definitely there is treatment for that to be kind of individualized to that person.
And with those treatments, it pretty much helps the different symptoms you're having to kind of make them a little bit more comfortable or not as hard to deal with.
Usually it helps reduce the hot flashes or symptoms or whatever in that.
And is there a way, so I know you said if you don't have a cycle for a year, mm-hmm. but are there panels or is there blood work that's done as well to try to hone in to see exactly where a woman is and if she's in that area?
So, yes. So there's definitely, you can do hormonal panels. So in perimenopause and in menopause, both of them to know kind of if you are where you are.
And that'll show even if you're in menopause. When those panels are done, they could possibly not even be in peri or menopause. Those panels are that good and show you?
Yes, usually that does give us a lot of detail.
Awesome. So are there natural ways as well to help with menopause transition?
So there are. There are a lot of different, with diet, exercise, there are some supplements, there are some different things kind of depending on what is going on with the person, different things that do tend to be beneficial.
So when it comes to brain fog, what are some natural ways that women could be helped? Anything come to mind?
So a couple of things in natural ways, they talk about kind of almost brain training.
Mm-hmm.
So that being able to do a puzzle or Sudoku or a crossword puzzle every day. Also talking about definitely with brain fog is the sleep hygiene, the good nutrition. So trying to get in bed every night at the same time, waking up at the same time, having routines really does put the day in order.
Mm-hmm.
So, and helps with the brain fog a lot. And so also that, like, stimulating the brain. Learning something new is apparently very good for helping. So you're stimulating the brain and using, building new neural pathways.
And Katie, you know, I've heard that weight gain tends to be coming with menopause. Why is that? Why do women gain weight during menopause?
So one of the reasons women gain weight during menopause is that the estrogen production from the ovaries tends to decrease. And so one thing the body can do is the body can convert fat to estrogen. So it actually, the body moves fat to kind of the central stomach area. Yeah. In order to be able to convert fat to estrogen, because it's noticing a lack of estrogen in the body.
So is that why somebody would get estrogen put in their body that would kind of cause the fat to stop forming there? Or is that always going to happen?
So by having hormonal replacement therapy or just some estrogen support, so through that, it would help the body from stopping to redistribute the fat.
Wow.
It doesn't actually help lose weight, but it helps with the redistribution.
So it's not going all in one place.
Yes.
You were telling me you went to a conference for menopause. So tell me about some of that experience and what you learned.
So it was really interesting. Learned a ton about just perimenopause and menopause, about the different aspects from all the different symptoms, the exercise, diet, to all the different research that's been done in menopause and perimenopause. Some of the really interesting things that I found through it is that one of the most important things as women, we start to, at the age of 30, lose muscle mass. And so that building muscle in perimenopause and menopause is almost more important than cardio. So doing that strength training at least 2 to 3 times a week is really important. And historically, we've never had little ladies lift weights. Like, we were always scared to, like, give them weights.
Yeah.
And they actually did this study that they talked about where they had women who were 65. They did their DEXA scan, which tells the bone density and screens for osteoporosis beforehand.
Okay.
They had them lift weights, heavy weights with trainers.
Yeah.
So they weren't doing this by themselves.
Yes.
They were lifting heavy weights with trainers. And then they did their DEXA scan 6 to 9 months later. So they found that they actually built bone.
Wow.
And they grew in inches.
Oh my gosh.
Because it helped lengthen out the spine. It helped build up the back muscles, which helped them sit up taller. And so
that's fascinating.
Even at 65, like, you can still, with, again, somebody there to show you how to properly lift weights safely. So, but still can definitely lift weights and do strength training.
What an amazing thing to learn. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely get in the gym with those trainers. So, Katie, where could we get more information about RHM Gynecology and all the different services you have? And if somebody wants to get in touch with you, where could they go?
So RHM has a website, so you can actually book appointments through the website. It goes over all of our different services, kind of the different protocols and philosophies that we use would be kind of the best place to start. www.rhmgyn.com.
Wonderful. Well, Katie, thank you so much for coming and sharing this information with us about perimenopause and menopause. We greatly appreciate your time.
Well, thank you so much.
The Morning Quest continues to find joy in the journey on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:56, and what an exciting show. Definitely with Greg McDonald here, our wonderful co-host, since Josh is far, far away in Rome.
I'm wondering, did Michelle, did you talk to Michelle and have her send
your
me
wife?
In on a, my wife, about the, that menopause was going to be discussed today?
He did not.
I'm kind of feeling like an end around at this point.
No, but truly, I feel like, man, this is good information for them to hear too, right? If you're married and you're a future wife, when it comes to age, it's good information to know. You guys can work out together, and
I feel like I understand the change at this point. Yes, I'm a little bit smarter today.
There you
go. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Brownie points there. That's awesome. Well, and so now Greg was our guest host today.
Yep.
We've got guest hosts lined up. Josh is back next Tuesday.
Correct.
So tomorrow,
Pierce Benefield, parishioner at Christ the King in Atlanta.
That's right. So we'll look forward to that.
Yeah. Jason Wild, he is a parishioner at St. Catherine of Siena.
He won a contest to be in here, like an auction, a silent auction, to be in here while we did it. And he was great. He was a lot of fun. So we thought, let's have him back.
Absolutely. Well, and Friday, Andy Lichtenwalner is going to be back with us, staying for the whole hour. So that's going to be a great day, too.
Yeah. Great lineup coming up here.
Yeah, and no St. Michael the Archangel? I thought he would be on. No?
we'll try and arrange
that. We intercede. In the name of the glory be to the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.